Awesome. Hey, I'm John Bolger with Premier Guitar, here with John Oates. John, thank you so much joining us, man.
Great to see you.
Hey, man, it's great to see you, and great to see you with this guitar, because this is the one,
It feels
man.
Like part of my body. It really does, man. It's got the big belly scoop, you know. You know how they, this is a 58 Strat.
And, wow.
So when it was built, you know, but they were all hand carved, so different builders, you know, they were different kind of scoop. And there's something about this guitar, man, it just fits in there really good. The neck is this neck that I actually had the Fender Custom Shop reproduce this guitar. Oh. So I have a couple kind of copies.
How accurate is the
reproduction?
Pretty
darn good. They did a really good job, but this is the real one. Of course, there's not a lot of stock stuff left on it.
Yeah.
A lot of brass stuff was a big deal in the 70s.
Sure, yeah.
They replaced even the back plate. The
brass. Cool.
So it's kind of a 70s vibe.
Yeah, awesome. So what year did you get this thing?
Well, I bought it in 73 from a drug dealer in New York. It was $150.
Okay.
And
so what else was in that transaction?
Nothing,
no, don't tell
nothing
me.
At all, man. Nothing at all. But I got the guitar. That's, what's important, right? 59 PAF in the back.
Whoa, hold
and,
on.
Yeah.
So an honest to God 59.
Yes,
PAF.
Sir.
And, what year did you put that in?
Like it was in the guitar when I bought it.
No way.
This is exactly how I bought the guitar. Except about 5 years ago, Seymour Duncan, I had retired this guitar because I didn't want to take it on the road anymore.
Yeah.
Seymour Duncan said, man, how come you don't play that guitar anymore? I said, he goes, no, you got to play. He goes, why don't you send it to me and I'll tweak it up for you. So when I sent it to him, and when he took the plate off, it turned out that the neck pickup was one of his first pickups. From the early 70s.
Wow.
So we replaced it with one of his newer PAF replicas. And it's got a 5-position switch. And it's just one of those things that it just works, man. I don't even know what to say. Never had it refretted.
You're kidding.
No, it's just it just is what it is. You know? And it's just got that, spank, you know?
Right? Yeah. Yeah, man, it's crazy because there's, I guess maybe it's a PAF because it has kind of a...
Well,
kind of
it's almost got a Fendery thing when I put it in the split position.
Right.
But if I put it down on on the back pickup, I can get a little more...
Yeah.
So it's pretty cool that way, too. I really only use 2 positions. I use really pretty much the bridge pickup and the split.
Cool.
And the split almost all the time.
So this is clearly your number one.
I use this pretty much the whole show. Although I do use this TV Jones guitar, which is a really cool guitar too.
Oh.
You want to check it out?
Yeah, of course, man. Let me roadie for you for a minute.
This is I was a big fan of TV Jones, his pickups.
Yeah.
And then when he first started making guitars, this is what he calls a Model 10. I don't see a lot of people using them, but I just picked it up and I just liked it.
Yeah.
I use it for a lot more of my chordal and tonal stuff.
Sure.
I do a lot of I try to do some harmonic things that are really clear and kind of pretty.
Right.
So I'll use it a lot of times just to do things like this, Let me get my thing here.
Oh yeah.
I'll do it like a... So when I'm playing a lot of stuff with broad chords,
sure.
I tend to use this. It just has a really, it's very in tune. It's very even and
yeah,
it works
beautiful.
Really good. So it's just a really great guitar for certain things, but then I just kind of go back and forth that. I also have this thing, which is kind of unusual.
Oh, let's take a look at this.
Do your weights before you pick that up.
Right? That is really surprising.
This guitar was made by Will Kelly in North Carolina. It's a this is a piece of kauri wood. That's like 50,000 years old, the top piece. And
What kind of wood?
Kari wood. Hmm. It's an old wood that was, after the Ice Age, it was found like buried under the water or buried under, after the glaciers, you know, went away. So it's really old. It's got, I believe it's almond and that's flame maple on the neck.
That neck is unbelievable.
Yeah, it's pretty heavy. And I can't remember what pickups, I actually asked them to put the TV Jones pickups in it.
Yeah, they look like TV Jones.
And on all my Bigsby models, I always use the Vibramate spoiler.
Love those.
Just to make string changing easier. And,
right.
And it just, I think it stretches the string length a little bit.
Yeah.
It feels really good.
Yeah, those do feel good. I've got
roller bridge as well because of the Bigsby.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty important.
That's great. So, well, man, you've always used such cool kind of jazz influenced, you know, chord voicings.
Yeah.
And particularly that Strat, it seems like everything just like every note really rings. Like
it's important to me because, you know, my guitar style, I was a folk guitar player, a blues guitar player, and I still do that. Yeah. That's kind of my solo thing.
I've got your solo thing, man. Yeah, it's this Robert Johnson kind of thing.
I do a lot of that. But you know, the stuff that I worked when I started working with Daryl, him being a keyboard player, playing all these unique voicings, yeah. I had to adapt my guitar style to that.
Yeah.
So that's why my electric guitar playing is a little bit more, a lot of people always say, well, you play like a piano player.
Yeah.
And of course that makes perfect sense
because sure.
a lot of the stuff I was getting from Daryl and the way he substitute bass notes and stuff like that. Yeah.
And it kind of falls in a weird way. Those voice, like your harmony voicings aren't what you'd expect. And it kind of is kind of like those jazz chord voicings.
Yeah, and it's also a Philly thing too.
Man,
you know,
I
Philly R&B
is.
Thing too. It has a lot to do with it. So
yeah, it's yeah. I guess it is that regional
yeah.
thing.
Yeah,
wow,
yeah,
it it's whatever it is. It's responsible for a lot of big hits.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It works.
Yeah.
You'll hear a lot of it tonight. I can tell you
yeah,
that.
Perfect. Well, let's talk about these amps.
Well, this is a pretty funny story. This is a Pro Reverb, which to me is, I think it's the ultimate Fender because it's got the oomph and the air. It moves air like a twin,
right.
but it's only got half the power.
Yeah.
So you can crank it a little bit more. Now, this is a pretty funny story. I was working with Tom Bukovac, who's one of my favorite guys and favorite guitar players. And I asked him to do a guitar overdub for me. And we went over to his place, to his house, his little home studio. We did the session, and as I was going out, I said, hey man, what do I owe you? He goes, nothing. And so we're walking out through his garage, which was just wall-to-wall
right.
equipment. He
yeah,
had
yeah.
so much stuff. And he is on the way out, he said, oh, by the way, he goes, you gotta buy this amp. I said, so that's what I'm paying you, right? He goes, yeah, you don't have to pay me, but you gotta buy this amp.
Yeah.
So I bought it from him and had Todd Sharp go over it and tweak it up a little bit.
Sure.
And it is just a killer. It's a 67 Pro Reverb.
Oh, how cool.
And it sounds fantastic and it's a wonderful amp. And then speaking of Todd Sharp, I'm using one of his custom amps that he just came out with.
Yeah, and Ken Greenberg has that amp. It's yeah, killer.
Todd
man.
Used to be our guitar player in 1974 and 75.
Really?
Right out of high school when he was 18.
Wow.
And we
man.
Reunited here in Nashville and I love this amp. You know, the Fender has such a, you know, it's got that Fender thing, which
yeah.
I love. But at the same time, his amp is a little more hi-fi and a little broader in the tonal spectrum. It's got a really warm bottom end, which the Fender doesn't really have. So in combination, I think it really is it's a great combination. It gives me a little more depth and oomph
right.
at the same time, but I really don't, I kind of feature the Fender, but this kind of supports it.
That's great. So are you running stereo between them?
I'm only running stereo on a couple of the items on my pedal board
Ooh.
Because they're not all stereo outputs.
Well, let's
check
that's
it
a
out.
Good segue.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's sure. talk about these pedals. Okay, now we are in pedal land and we got Tech Frank Robbins to answer anything that John may not know.
That I can't remember, which is plenty. Before Frank gets started, though, the only thing I do know how to use is that wah-wah pedal. Because I use it all the time.
Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
So that's my thing.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, that's. I don't think I've ever played an electric guitar show without a wah-wah pedal.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I think I'd feel naked without it. So we got a couple new things. We got this Green Child boost from.
Yeah.
Actually, got it from Shane Terrio.
Oh, okay.
Shane
really?
Just donated
it to me the other day.
Okay.
And I tried it and I liked it. And it's a really cool. Got a kind of a clean boost and a overdrive.
Yeah. Yeah. So do you guys swap stuff back and forth?
Well, not too often, but he said, hey man, you should try this. And I had a different overdrive and I liked it and it was great.
Cool. Okay.
And what else we got, Frank? We got
so signal starts with the wah. Then where do we run from there?
Signal starts with the wireless.
Okay. All right. Okay. Yeah.
So yeah, we're using a line 6 wireless. Okay. The relay and going into a Lely 3-1. So
okay.
We have three different wireless. And John could just step on a button,
correct,
select a guitar like that.
So, John, do you have your guitars up on stage?
I changed my own guitars. Yeah, I just grab them, put them on, and then I hit the right button.
He doesn't trust me.
Yeah, I don't.
Well, it's quick. Yeah. That makes sense. Okay, no, good.
And there's too many guitar changes to do stuff like that. Easy. So.
So that from the 3-1, we go to the wah.
Okay. From the wah.
Right. And then the wah comes to the tuner, and from the tuner we go to the K18. Which is basically, it's sort of Tube Screamers on one side and Klon on the other side. So you have a clean boost, which you can overdrive, and you got a basic, you know, distortion that everyone's familiar with.
Yeah.
From there we go into the sex drive, which basically is on.
It's on all the time.
It just we never turn it off.
And that's just giving you a little, kind of a little boost.
I just like the compression, just a little lift, and it's always a little punchier.
Yeah, it makes them feel more alive, kind of.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Right.
Cool.
From there, we're going to the carbon copy, which is just preset for a quick slapback.
Yeah. I use this for long echo.
Call it slapback.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, it's really warm, very analog.
Yeah.
That's what I like about it.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Yeah. And then from there, we're going into T-Rex, the tap tone, for a a tappable delay.
Oh, cool.
This is the one I use for my short delays. Whoops.
Cool. Now, is that in stereo or?
No, that's still mono.
Okay.
Yeah, we don't get to stereo until we go into the line 6 modulation, and that's where we split the signal from there.
It's funny, those two amps sound so big, it almost feels like a stereo.
Yeah,
image.
It's a great combination. The amps really complement each other.
Yeah.
I use a pretty simple, straightforward chorus.
Yeah, and that's from the line 6?
Yep.
That sounds great.
And this it says tremolo, but we've changed it to a kind of a rotoverb, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
And then I got a phaser I use on Family Man.
Oh, yeah.
Very, right. Very 80s.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now, originally when we recorded that, was that a Phase 90? Do you remember?
Probably. Yeah. Probably was. And the Dimension D, which I use for a lot of the more broader kind of quieter things.
Cool. Yeah, it's really subtle, but it's, it's just a nice little.
And we've got your classic Fender tremolo.
Yeah, it's cool because it's so subtle with the other amp.
Which we could crank that a little bit more.
But it's pretty cool to have it just underneath there.
Yeah. Like that.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, that's killer.
That's pretty much it. It's pretty straightforward. We've got an EQ, but we don't use it very often unless things start sounding weird.
The EQ is only after we split out of the line 6. One side is going directly to the Fender amp, the other side goes through the EQ, which then goes to the Todd Sharp, and it's just designed to thin out the Todd Sharp a little bit.
Okay. Yeah, or some odd resonant frequencies we try to notch out.
Sure. Yep. Yeah. Killer. Well, man.
That's it, man.
Yeah, it's easy enough. All in the hands.
It shouldn't be too complicated,
right?
You just got to play.
Yeah. Great. Well, John, such a pleasure, man.
Thanks
a million.
Thank you.
Okay, till next time.
Yeah.
I'm John Bollinger with Premier Guitar. I'm here with Shane Terrio today of the Hollow Notes Band, amongst other things.
Yeah, well, thanks, man. Glad to hook up with you guys.
Man, that play-in, you're from Louisiana, right?
Uh-huh,
you can hear that dirty, funky thing in that.
Mildewy.
Yeah, the mildewy, the swampy swamp. Very cool.
Well,
let's talk some guitars. Let's start with maybe this guy right here.
Okay, well, speaking in Louisiana, this is sort of a recent acquisition. This is a my good friend in Louisiana named Gerard Relasson. And I call him the Cajun Sadowski. You know, and he's a great builder. He's a very small operation. He hand builds everything, very meticulous guitars. And this is a Relic Strat he built for me last year. So it's kind of the only real Strat type guitar that I have that have the vintage type pickups. And it's got a, what did he tell me? Toasted maple neck.
Oh, cool.
Sounds sort of festive.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know exactly what that means, but he said it would stay in tune better. But the neck is like, and you can feel how light it is. It's really light.
Oh, man.
And like it resonates really well.
That is shockingly light. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool, man. Nice, comfortable neck, too.
That's one of my go-to Strats recently. Okay, by the same builder, Gerard Melanson. This, I've had this guitar probably maybe 15 years. This was the first one he built for me.
Cool.
He calls it a Classic T, I think it is. And it's got, he actually had built two pick guards for me, and one was with a single coil.
Okay.
So I can like fit it in. But sure. I usually use this. A few years back, I mean, I had a sort of a love-hate relationship with this guitar for years. I always did like it, but some days it would be great, other days. And one day I brought it to his shop, and he had this pickup laying around. And he, because I would, it just never, something with the humbucker never resonated the way I wanted.
So it had a humbucker in it.
Yeah, it's always had a humbucker. And he said, Steve Blucher from DiMarzio custom wound this for me and I'm not using it, so let's try it out.
Yeah.
And man, the whole guitar opened up.
That's great.
So I used it.
So how long ago did you get that pickup?
That was only maybe 2 years ago.
I wonder if that's like a prototype for the PAF Master Series, because that, I've got that pickup and it's just killer.
I'm not sure, you know, and I met Steve recently in at the Iridium in New York, and I mentioned this pickup. He goes, I remember the pickup. So I confirmed it.
I bet they do, yeah.
But I use this guitar sometimes on Daryl's TV show. You know, it's a very versatile guitar. If I have to pick one axe to go to a session, or if I don't have the luxury of taking a bunch of axes.
Sure.
This is a good one because I can pull them. You know, I can coil tap and I can get a bunch of sounds out of it.
Sure. Yeah, and very cool, beautiful too. And that's a maple top, looks like. And
I guess. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Beautiful though.
But it's seen a lot of miles, you know, it's still hanging in there.
Yeah, very cool. Okay, so two awesome guitars.
Those are my Mels. Did I talk about this?
Okay. Let's hear about this green thing.
I get a lot of people ask me about this guitar. This guitar started life as a Hamer Daytona.
Okay, sure. I remember those back in the day.
Those were great guitars. Yeah. They were these are like underdog guitars. You know, I think they're sleeper guitars. I have two of them. This is the original one I had. And it's seen numerous bridge changes and pickups. But I had this done to it a long time ago where you could split the, like a single coil thing.
Cool. Is that the original neck on it? Or
that's the original neck.
And the headstock is throwing me. I don't remember
them.
It's been
sanded, man. Okay. It went through so many incarnations. You know, it's just, I don't know. But this is like an old friend.
Yeah, yeah,
but
I get it.
I feel bad that I'm playing new friends and I want to have it nearby. And it's just been with me for so many years and I've used it on so many things.
There's like a comfort level. It's funny, I've got like some guitars I've had forever that I feel so comfortable with, and they're not necessarily even that great, but
I can feel like gigs I did or sessions or people I played with, and I had that guitar, and it just, I don't know, I'm very sentimental with that stuff.
Right, and there's like a confidence when you know what it's gonna do. Okay,
this guitar, I'll do this one. This one, this is a 1959 Gibson 330.
Oh, awesome.
And I was in a guitar shop actually with my wife looking at a different guitar, and she saw this one hanging up. And this guitar has an interesting story. I basically say I rescued it because, as you can see, somebody drilled holes and had the bright idea to convert this to a lefty.
To a lefty, right.
So when I got it, there were holes. Right, cool. And it was, they were literally scotch tape holding the binding on the back of this guitar.
Nice.
And you could shake it would rattle. But it sounded so good. And it's all original electronics.
Wow.
I'm sure that's not original. But all the pickups and wiring is electronic. And a guy named Will Kelly in North Carolina did some stuff to it, and then I sent it to Matt. What's Matt's last name?
Brewster.
Matt Brewster at 30th Street Guitars in New York. He redid the wiring.
And, oh, cool.
And it's like, I mean, it's, you know, these guitars,
oh,
right?
They're yeah.
completely hollow.
Okay, man, I gotta ask. You, I mean, you work at a pretty stout stage volume. Does this thing get away from
no,
you?
No, when we did Daryl's House, live from Daryl's House, the show,
yeah.
we had Cheap Trick on.
Yeah,
we
loud
all
band.
Had Marshalls.
Yeah.
We all had, even Daryl had a Marshall, everybody had a Marshall, even the bass player had a Marshall.
Yeah.
And I played that guitar in a couple songs and it's fine. I mean, if you stand in front of it like Ted Nugent, it'll start taking off.
Right.
But it's generally pretty quiet. Man.
Yeah, cool.
And these P90s are like, that's like holy grail.
They sound so good. I don't know why they invented the humbucker.
Yeah. So I don't really like taking it out, but on the road, because I just, you know. But it sounds good. I use it on some things. Sometimes I'll use it on Sarah Smile or something.
Oh, cool. Yeah, that's great, man.
This is a guitar I recently sort of dusted off because I needed a something with like a Les Paul sort of SG thing.
Sure.
Some of the encore tunes are like more heavy, sustain-y stuff. So this is a Hamer Artist. That I've had forever.
Cool. Do you remember what year this is?
I got it like around 96.
Okay.
So I don't know, maybe somewhere around then. And it's all, I know these pickups are Seth Lover pickups.
Oh,
now
cool.
This one sometimes will make a little squeal because I think the pickups aren't potted.
Oh, yeah.
Or somebody told me that, I don't
know.
But this is a great guitar. It sounds killer through this Marshall.
Oh, that's cool.
And the spacing is a little dubious for me sometimes, but after about a minute I get used to it, you know.
Yeah. Is that kind of 335 style where there's a block in the center?
There's a block in the center, yeah.
Yeah.
I used it a lot. I just did this new record, a solo record that I've just finished, and this thing covered a lot of bases.
Very cool. Very cool. Hey, so your own project, what might be a tough question, but what flavor would you say it is?
Well, my new record is primarily trio bass.
Oh, really?
So it's three trios. I have Jim Keltner and myself three different rhythm sections.
Oh, cool.
LA, Austin, and New Orleans. So
oh, cool.
So this filled a lot. And to answer your question, I guess it's kind of Louisiana stuff.
Yeah.
Swampy,
well, that's going to be part of no matter what you do.
But definitely funk and, you know, funky.
Yeah, cool.
But yeah, so this filled a lot of areas in that.
Perfect. Beautiful, man. Awesome guitars. Now let's talk about the amp thing you've got running.
Okay,
here.
Well,
when you came in, you're playing the Marshall, right?
The Marshall. That is a let's see.
Yeah, let's do a taste test.
That is a 1971 Super Lead that I got. I bought it at a music store in Florida a long time ago. I think I paid like $300 for that.
Oh.
And it sounded not, it didn't sound great. Like it had one okay Angus Young sound.
Yeah.
Not even that good.
Yeah.
So I sat on it forever. And Scott Henderson is a friend of mine. I've known him forever.
Cool.
And you know how he's the tone connoisseur. And I told him about this amp and he had one, a Super Lead, an early 70s. And he said, you got to send it to Martin at Custom Audio Electronics in LA. I mean, it's on the back, you can see, but I don't know what he did to it, but when it came back, it was like, I mean,
is
that's
that
a
just
Strat.
Straight
that's
into
straight
it?
In.
Wow, that's killer.
And I mean,
killer.
That's, you know, I'm on, you know. You know, it's plenty enough.
And I mean, killer.
I usually use reverb, but when you're playing, like, there's this 20,000 seat arena, nobody cares about reverb. You know?
Yeah, they've got reverb.
They've got reverb.
They're hearing.
You can actually hear that, like.
They're here in the room.
And I like it because it's very responsive, you know. You can play something and then just.
Yeah.
You can get really Hendrix-y or whatever you want, but you can play some cool like chordal stuff, and it really it just speaks, you know.
Yeah. Okay, so how are you running these two together?
I don't run them together. What happens, this is what happens when you can't make up your mind what you want to use.
Right.
You just bring everything.
Yeah.
And just in my tech, every, you know, I'll usually text him during the day, ah, hook up the Marshall today.
Oh, so you just, depending on the mood.
That's it. I mean, I like to switch it up.
Yeah, sure.
And
do you ever like mid-gig think, ah?
No, not mid-gig, no, I commit.
Okay, good, once you're in.
I commit.
You're in, okay.
But, so that's that, you know, with the Marshall, I usually play it, I mean, 90% of the time it's straight. And then I'll use some of these things to accent.
Sure.
You know, I mean,
hey, before we get into the pedal thing,
yeah,
let's talk about this other amp and then show all these pedals.
Sure, sure. Okay, let him switch this thing.
Okay, that's Justin the tech back there doing his thing, showing you how it's done.
And what, doing his job.
What cab are you using?
That
here
is an ancient Mesa Boogie cab that I've had since, man, I use that thing. I've had it for, I used it all my Neville Brothers days, and it's old.
Great.
It's a Boogie cabinet.
With
EVs? It has
EVs?
A Celestian here, and it has an EV there.
Great.
And it's just punchy.
Yeah.
And when I first started doing this gig, I brought a 412 out, and that was great. And but this just, it's a little more focused, you know.
Sure.
It's funny, man. People say, "Wow, Hall & Oates is a loud gig." You have no idea how loud.
Yeah.
It is. And Daryl, I mean, he's right there, and he wants the amp. Boom. It's like I've never been on a gig where I haven't been told to turn down.
Yeah.
I mean, look at the. There's two Fender Twins.
Yeah, keeping
on
up with that. Right, right.
So anyway,
well, I saw Daryl in London like 4 or 5 years ago at a place called The Hospital. I don't know if you're on that gig or not.
No, I wasn't doing it.
But gig. Man, it was a small venue, and it was like so loud it was peeling the paint off the walls. It was great.
I'm not surprised to hear that.
Yeah, I was not complaining, but it is a loud
the first,
gig.
The first gig I ever did, I was doing the show for a while, but we did some Hall & Oates gigs after that, and I had the amp, it was a Marshall, and I had a Dr. Z, which I sometimes use, pointed right at his head, and I was like, man, I'm sorry about the volume, you know, and he goes, listen to me, do not ever worry about that.
That's cool. Those guys are cool,
I've never been
man
on a gig like that.
Yeah. You know, true rock star.
It's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, I love
so,
that.
So, you know, you get to. Okay, so this is so for years I used a Fender basement, a 60s, late 60s silver face basement head, which is out here somewhere. I used that for a long time. And then I really wanted to have a dual channel amp.
Yeah.
So this is Andy Fuchs. It's not really a modded basement. Because technically, he takes all the guts out. The only thing that remains of this was a
is
basement.
The shell. Yeah.
The shell and the transformer.
Okay.
So it's an old Fender transformer, but
oh, cool.
Everything else is just completely, you know.
Oh, wild.
So it's you get like it's a, and it's basically a Dumble Overdrive special with his improvements or whatever he does.
Oh, cool.
To it. And so it's a very versatile amp. I mean, you can get like. Yeah, you can get really very jazzy kind of. All these kind of tones.
Yeah, sounds great.
And then you can switch on the overdrive channel is really.
Yeah.
It's like that low mid growl. Kind
right.
Of. You can hear it like almost take off. So that's no pedals, you know, that's just the amp. So I really been using that a lot, but with the arenas, it gets a little mushy on the rhythm, so I'll switch to the Marshall.
Wow.
For
tough decision to make. They both
that's
really
why
sound
out,
great.
That's yeah. why they're sitting out, John. I like both of them.
Yeah.
If you can bring them out, bring them out. So,
right.
You know.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Good for you, man. Okay, so that's covering amps and cabs. Let's talk about your pedal board. And you're not so far you really haven't been using...
I don't really use... This started out, like this tour started with like four pedals. Uh-huh. And then I kept adding stuff and taking away. And it's like, I need a few things, but basically these things, there's a...
Okay, let's go through your signal chain. Okay. You're starting quarter inch cable, no wireless.
No, I don't like the wireless.
Okay, good.
I never did use those.
Straight into this full tone?
Yeah, it's a fuzz, but I don't really use the fuzz. I don't know what's in this pedal, but man, it's got so much, it's got so much gain, not like overdrive gain, just volume gain.
Yeah.
So I use it to just like drive the amp sometimes for clean. And it sounds great. You know, I'll use that for...
Yeah.
You know, I use that a lot. Well, as my main rhythm sound, that I've been using that.
Yeah, it sounds killer. It's funny, but everything sounds better louder. If you just make something louder,
it's fatter though. It's just louder.
No. It definitely gives you more of everything.
So that works through the Fuchs. It doesn't sound great through the Marshall. It doesn't serve the same purpose through the Marshall. So I use this Analog Man Beano Boost that I just got.
Oh, cool.
From Mike, and that thing, man, through a Marshall, it just really. Yeah. It like focuses all the gain, and it's really a cool sound.
Sure.
But that one doesn't sound great through. This amp.
Right. Well, I get it, man. They're very specific. Yeah.
They're very specific. And then I just go into the
tried and true.
The ever ubiquitous Boss.
Sure.
Tuner. That thing's seen so many gigs.
A thousand gigs.
Works great still. And it powers stuff if you need it. You know, I love Boss stuff too. I use Boss stuff forever too.
Tried and true.
And then I have this old Keeley compressor that sounds great. I'll use it sometimes for a little spike. Sustain or something, you know?
Yeah, I think those are kind of modeled after the Ross Gray compressor. Yeah. Yeah, cool. Okay.
And then what's going this? On?
Then you hit the...
Well, see, I was using a volume pedal a few weeks ago and something happened with that, so now I don't know where it's going. This is an old DOD flanger.
Cool.
And about 20 years ago, this guy hit me to these things, man. These are so cool because you can turn the regeneration down. Is that a regenerator or something? And then you can mess with the two middle and you can get a Leslie, like, you know, everybody uses that sound now, but you can get a vibrato or a fat, really fat.
That's great.
It's just a fat analog thing. And a lot of the ones I've used sound great, but when you put overdrive, they don't sound that good.
Yeah.
So this one, you know, it just sounds good.
Yeah, that's great.
I like that.
It's funny because old weirdo pedals like that, you know, you can find
$50.
Yeah.
I have like three or four of them that I keep, and you know, I have one in New Orleans and one in New York.
Isn't that great?
Yeah, and they're great.
$50 pedal, and you're playing
the switch
arenas
feels
with it.
Like it'll break any day.
Yeah.
And I'm always like saying a prayer before I hit it.
Yeah.
The intro to some of these songs, if it goes out, it's like.
Yeah.
And then where is this going?
I don't know, man.
I don't know, Justin, where to.
Oh, you know, it looks like it's hitting.
Yeah. This.
Okay, what's this one? Yeah, what's our gold
this
thing?
This gold
right
one, I don't know what it is. It's, we backed up John Resnick from the Goo Goo Dolls, the singer and guitar player.
Sure.
Cool, super cool guy. So we did a couple of days of rehearsal and a gig. And during rehearsals, he was coming over and we were looking at each other's gear. And he's like a super pedal nerd.
Really?
You know, super cool guy. And he says, man, you gotta try this pedal. He pulled it off his pedal board and gave it to me. He said, we used it on the new Goo Goo Dolls record, this pedal.
Okay,
and so I think I traded him something for it.
Let's hear this thing.
It basically, you know what, he told me it gives you like a Neil Young kind of rhythm. Oh. Yeah, it's very chunky. So. I might use like. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, it's very ampy. Okay, cool.
And then, you know, people might say, why are you using these things if you have these great amps? I use them to basically make the amp bark a little more.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
the only reason. I'm not really getting overdrive from these things. This one, though, I just got from Robert Keeley.
Okay, the
and
D&M
this thing drum. Sounds really good, man. It's like... You know, it's like... So that's, and it's got a boost on one side, I think. Which that itself would work as an overdrive.
Yeah, killer.
And then this is just a tremolo. Everybody knows what that does.
Yeah. Yeah. So is that then, the old one? Because the old Boss tremolos had that little kind of, you could kind of hear them when they weren't engaged.
I don't know.
But this one's quiet as can be, so I don't know if you...
I don't know what it is. It's a Boss... I mean, Analog Man did something
Oh, then maybe that's it. Maybe they gave it the tweak.
But I had one before and it sounded fine.
Yeah, that's great.
And then this, there's a company in Japan that I love called Free the Tone.
We reviewed that pedal, yeah. It's
and
cool.
I have some of their overdrive pedals. It's great, too. You can do like... you know, you know this pedal because you reviewed it, but you can get like a really, it's set up for a, I've got it set up for like a short, a longer, and a really long.
Oh, great. So this is a control for presets.
I mean, I don't really use it that much on this gig. It's sort of like a, having a Ferrari of a delay for,
right.
I could use a little Boss delay would be fine, but it's nice to have all those sounds.
Yeah, know? Studio quality, that's great, man.
And I have that going through the loop of the Fuchs.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
So that's basically it. It's really not that much stuff. I mean, it looks like a lot of stuff, but...
Well, your dry tone just straight in is so good, man. It's, yeah, and this gig is such a cool guitar tone.
This gig I just, you know, it's basically a very loud R&B gig.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's basically what it is.
Yeah.
So I'm playing rhythm a lot and then a lot of lead stuff too. So it's I like to have the things to make it jump a little more, but that's basically it.
Now, what are you powering this all with? Is that Voodoo Labs or a... the pedal power too, yeah. Hey, and what strings?
I use D'Addario.
Gauge?
11 through 52.
Yeah.
And then sometimes 10s through 40,
oh, really?
46, yeah. It depends.
Stout
these
strings.
Well, yeah, but these, the short scale,
yeah.
You could bend the crap out of these.
Sure. Yeah.
You know,
and what are those picks?
These are Planet Wave Heavy, I don't know, what are these, 1.2?
Yeah, stout.
Pretty stout.
Yeah, yeah.
Cool. I mean, I'll use, I used to use Fender Heavy.
Yeah.
But then I got this, I got into using these because the tone.
Yeah.
You can just get so much more tone out of it.
Yeah. And those Fender Heavies kind of disintegrate.
They
know?
Do.
Yeah.
And then on this gig where you're like playing a lot of heavy rhythm stuff, your fingernail starts starts eating away, you know?
Right, right.
I don't have that problem with this because it won't give.
Yeah.
So.
Cool. Cool.
So that's basically it.
Great. Well, hey, Shane, thanks a million,
pleasure.
Man. Congrats.
Pleasure.
Yeah, we'll see you on the road. We'll see you on Daryl's house. We'll see you
all right.
Everywhere. Till next
Thank
time.
Thank you, guys.
Don't forget to sign up for PG Perks, your all-access pass to exclusive gear giveaways and discounts on PremierGuitar.com.